You're listening to the Doheny Podcast Network, the Doheny Eye Institute, working for all to see. Your host is Jody Becker.
My guests are Dr. Olivia Lee and Dr. Laura Vickers. Both doctors are specialists in diseases of the cornea. Dr. Lee performs corneal surgeries, ocular surface reconstruction, and stem cell transplantation. She is also an expert in uveitis, and Dr. Lee is an assistant professor at the UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine. We are also joined by her colleague, Dr. Laura Vickers. She is a graduating cornea fellow at Doheny UCLA. Dr. Vickers is dedicated to resident education and the development of international eye care programs. She is interested in the approach to patients with both corneal disease and glaucoma. And next year, Dr. Vickers will be a glaucoma fellow at the Jules Stein UCLA Eye Institute. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having us, Jody.
This is our first international episode, and it's inspired by your recent trip to Mongolia, where you traveled together to perform corneal transplant surgeries for several patients and train Mongolian colleagues in surgical procedures and aftercare protocols. Our listeners should know that they can read and look at amazing pictures about this trip at doheny.org. I don't know how you had time to blog about it, but the blog is absolutely beautiful, and I thought that our listeners might want to know even more. So I wanted to just start with background. Dr. Vickers, can you talk a little bit about how you got to Mongolia and how the whole trip came together?
Sure. So Mongolia is a country that some people may have never considered visiting before or may not know very much about, especially if you're living in the United States. But it's a relatively large country, which is very, very sparsely populated. So it's actually one of the most sparsely populated countries in the world. It's situated just between Russia and China. The culture is somewhat of a mix between Russia, China, and a smattering of European cultures as well. It's a very interesting place, and the native language is Mongolian, which is notoriously one of the most difficult languages to learn around the world. So we actually ended up going to Mongolia specifically on this mission because I had been there in the past as a medical student. I had had the opportunity and the privilege to start a small eye care mission there that then got continued by doctors throughout the years. And so it was one of my kind of dedications to myself after my medical training that I would do a cornea transplant fellowship because I knew that people around the world and specifically in Mongolia didn't have access to cornea transplants. And I wanted to go back and to share that knowledge and to help them establish an eye bank. So Dr. Lee also got really excited about this idea. And so together we decided to go back to Mongolia this year and to start this cornea transplant program.
Dr. Lee, how does the cornea work?
So the cornea is the clear covering in front of the eye. It is normally transparent in a healthy patient. So when you look at yourself in the mirror and you see the colored part of the eye, actually you're looking through the cornea. So if you are a contact lens wearer, every day you put your contact lens on top of the cornea. When the cornea is not clear, then this can cause decreased vision. And the cornea can become cloudy for a variety of reasons, either infection, inflammation, trauma, scarring, etc. So we are corneal transplant surgeons, and what we do is we take a cornea from a cadaver, a person who has generously donated their cornea to another person, and we transplant that onto the patient to restore their vision.
If people take a look on the blog, there are photographs of the equipment. And also, of course, you traveled with some donated corneas. Can you talk about how you got all of this together and the logistics of making this mission possible?
Logistics, yes. As you say, it sounds much easier than it actually was. It was about 6 months of hard work on both of our parts. We had to get donations from many different eye care companies that provide all of the materials and instruments that are needed for cornea transplant surgery. Luckily, there are also several nonprofits such as See International, which were willing to partner with us and to loan or donate equipment and instruments that we needed. Luckily, cornea transplant surgery on the scale of surgeries is actually one of the lower tech surgeries in terms of we don't actually need any big machines with fancy screens or computers in order to do the surgery itself. So that is actually an advantage of the surgery being a little bit more portable than, for example, some kinds of retina surgery, et cetera. But one of the biggest expenses and one of the biggest barriers in general to doing cornea transplant surgery in any place that doesn't do it now is getting the corneas.
Dr. Lee?
I have a very good relationship with SightLife Eye Bank in Seattle. It is one of the largest eye banks in the United States, and they process a lot of corneal tissue for United States surgeons as well as international surgeons. This is a nonprofit organization, and their mission is to eliminate corneal blindness, not just in the United States, but worldwide. We're doing a great job in the U.S. There really is no patient in the United States who is waiting for a corneal transplant. Unlike a person who is waiting for a liver or a kidney or a heart transplant, you could literally walk into a corneal transplant surgeon's office, schedule a surgery on whatever day you want, and have the reassurance that a cornea will be available on the day of surgery. That is not the case in most countries. So, for example, in Mongolia, even though there are these two cornea-trained surgeons, they really have no ability to do the surgery that they're trained to do because of lack of corneas. So our mission and SightLife's mission to eliminate this problem are really in line here. So they're very motivated to help us in this regard. They're very generous to donate to us six corneas for transplantation, and we use that to regain sight in six patients. There were 10 non-transplant grade corneas that were donated, and we use these in the laboratory to have the physicians and the residents who came, there were about 16 of them, and we use that in conjunction with pig eyes to simulate corneal transplantation in the laboratory. So even the surgeons who were not able to actually participate in the surgeries of the six patients were able to practice corneal transplantation.
And you traveled with those in a special freezer, is that right?
Actually, they can just be stored with regular ice. So they're packaged in a culture media called Optisol. And in that solution, they can stay for 7 days and simply in a styrofoam box with normal ice.
Can you talk a little bit? You said you had been to Mongolia in the past. Did you have a connection with this specific hospital or colleagues there?
I did. So this was actually the hospital that we had found through an international network of eye surgeons back when I was a medical student. And so this network, again, called See International, they both are a nonprofit that's based in Santa Monica here in California. And they actually both provide donated instruments and loaned equipment for eye surgeons from the United States who want to travel abroad and do surgical skills transfer. And they also have formed this amazing international network of eye surgeons abroad who want to host United States trained ophthalmic surgeons. And they have special requests about which kinds of surgery they really need in their country. And so this was how many years ago, back in 2008, I got in touch with Dr. Mugi, who is a cornea-trained specialist who had gone to India and then went back to her hometown of Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, in order to be a cornea doctor. Of course, she wanted additional training and training for more doctors in Mongolia for cornea transplant technique, and also the help in the starting an eye bank. And so this was one of the initial goals back in 2008 and finally came to fruition when we went back this year.
And something that you've mentioned already is that the language is a very tricky and obscure language that not very many people know. So I'm wondering how you communicated, and especially in terms of things that are very technical, like performing surgeries and aftercare protocols and very specific medical terminology.
The medical doctors all speak English. They're very familiar with the eye terminology. At least most of them are. I think they could understand me. I'm not sure if the nurses or the patients could understand, but they did serve as our translator. When we did give our lectures, just to make sure that there was no misunderstanding and everyone understood to the detail that we wanted to teach, we did have a translator during the lectures.
And I want to just wrap up. I know that you're off to do a surgery this morning and we don't have much more of your time, but I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the patients, the six transplantations that you actually did in patients there.
Sure. So this we had only six corneas. We wish we had the opportunity to do more because there were probably 50-some patients that came from all across Mongolia to see us and be evaluated for potentially having corneal transplant surgery. Of these, we selected six good candidates for what we call penetrating keratoplasty, or a full-thickness corneal transplantation. One of these you'll see on the blog that is mentioned is a 3-month-old baby boy who has a congenital disease called sclerocornea. It is a very rare condition, and he has it in both eyes, and so he's been born blind. And without a corneal transplant, he would never have the ability to see. And if this transplantation wasn't done in the first couple of years of life, he would never be able to regain his sight, even if he had the transplant in the future as an adult. A lot of people reading the blog were very touched by the story about the baby. And the baby is going to have the other eye done on June 11th. So we're very appreciative of SightLife Eye Bank for their generous donation. And of course, we're very grateful for all the corneal donors out there who are generous in giving their eyes to save the sight of another person. The other five patients, one had a condition called keratoconus, which is a bulging forward of the cornea due to lack of mechanical strength in the cornea. There were two patients who suffered traumatic events. One was fixing his car when a tire blew up in his eye. There was also a patient who had a viral infection in the past that left him with scarring. And these are very common things that we see in the United States as well. But the pathology is more advanced over there, meaning any of these patients, if they had been in the United States, would have gotten their corneal transplantation much earlier because of access to care and availability of corneas.
Very inspiring. Thank you so much. And finally, I'm just wondering, are there plans to return?
Yes, definitely. Yes, so we definitely want to. Go ahead, Laura.
I was just going to say that we're planning to return next year, most likely in July. And we would really like to be able to go back in order to teach more advanced cornea transplantation techniques and also to teach glaucoma and expand the subspecialty training that we're doing to a broader scope of diseases as well.
Thank you both so much. Unbelievably interesting information. Pictures and more of your words are at doheny.org. Our guests on the Doheny Podcast Network have been Dr. Olivia Lee and Dr. Laura Vickers talking about their recent trip to Mongolia and the cornea transplants they performed and the corneal transplantation training they did with colleagues in Mongolia. Thank you both so very much for being here.
Thank you so much.
The Doheny Eye Institute, at the forefront in eradicating eye disease for nearly 70 years, is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art clinical services and supporting leading researchers in the quest for treatments that stabilize and improve the precious sense of sight. Doheny is now affiliated with UCLA Stein Eye Institute. For more information about our doctors and their innovative work in the quest for better vision, visit our website, doheny.org.